It's not a time where we're going to feel sorry for ourselves. We'll find our way through this. It's going to make it all the much more sweeter when we get to where we want to go.
Martinez back on the track. Near the wall. She's gone. It's a grand slam. Giancarlo. Nosy Blows Scopolo. He hits a home run on line drive in the right field seats. A grand slam.
Now takes a 6-4 lead. Kepler lines that in the air to left center. Hicks on the run, dives, and he made the catch! He made the play! Oh my goodness, what a catch from Aaron Hicks to end it!
In that sense, both looking forward to making a deep run into postseason and ultimately bringing home the title back to New York.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Yankee Center podcast, and we are here to talk some baseball. And man, I am excited. Yankees are on a good run right now. Over the last 10 games, I think they're 8-2, right? I mean, pretty good. Things are going good right now, Tom. I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, I think last episode, it was right before the deadline and right before we made any moves. And then we made moves and, you know, we won games, and it's pretty crazy, the run that we've been on. You know, I think, let me counting here, since we made those deals. So we took 3 from Miami, 2 from Baltimore, 3 from Seattle, and we only lost 2 games in that span. So 3-2, 7-2, something like that.
It's what you want to see. It is exactly what you want to see so far since the trade deadline. We're just winning series, and that's all I need.
8-2. Yeah.
Yeah. Just continue to win series, and I will be happy. And, you know, we have a lot of guys that are just stepping up, honestly, and that's been the most encouraging thing for me so far. And I don't mean in the lineup, honestly. I mean in the rotation and bullpen right now, man. I mean, whether it's Luis Gil, Nestor Cortez, Steven Ridings, Clay Holmes. I mean, guys that I never even imagined were going to have an impact on the big league club in the second half of the season that just came out of nowhere, man. I mean, they were stashing away guys that can throw 100 miles per hour, and we didn't even fucking know about it. I mean, it's wild.
Yeah, I mean, like, who are these people?
It's like that SpongeBob moment where Patrick looks under his rock and he screams, "Who are you people?" That's exactly what this is.
If you look at the Yankees roster right now, there are just some names on there that are just like, did not expect to see you here.
In the words of Conor McGregor, who the fuck is that guy? It's exactly
But, like, the thing is, they're good.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's really awesome to see. I mean, like, and the thing is, this isn't in my head a thing where I'm like, you know, it's a flash in a pan. This is not going to last. Like, I think a lot of it really could last. And I genuinely mean that, because it's not just they're finding some success against some crappy teams, although teams haven't always been the best. But it doesn't matter, because what we're seeing is just good stuff, good pitching. Like, you can tell the difference when someone gets lucky versus them actually pitching well. And these guys are just pitching well. I mean, God, if you just look at the numbers on a guy like, this is the most surprising one for me. I mean, Nestor Cortez, dude, he's been phenomenal. Like, and I'm not just good, I mean phenomenal. He has pitched in 12 games. He has 4 games started this year, and he has a 2.15 ERA on the season. And if you look at his Statcast metrics, dude, they are really good outside of like velo and spin and whiff, because he's not really that kind of pitcher. He pitches the contact, but he generates all soft contact.
He is, you know, did not have that on the Yankees bingo card.
Like, it's nuts.
I did not expect Nestor Cortez to even like be on the roster, and now like he is for sure part of this team the rest of the way.
I mean, the Yankees have a couple guys that are going to stick around through the postseason if they make it, for sure. I mean, like, I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think Holmes is going anywhere. I don't think Ridings is going anywhere, honestly. I don't.
Yeah, like, they're going to have to – I don't think Ridings is on the 40-man, but, like, they could make it work.
They're going to add him to the 40.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, you don't send a guy like that down. You don't.
Yeah, like, this dude's stuff – is just unreal, and like whenever someone like makes the slightest amount of contact off of him, he kind of shouts at himself, and then he strikes out the next guy.
He's basically Dylan Betances, dude.
It's a completely different vibe from Nick Nelson and Brooks Kreske.
Well, the thing is, I mean, Brooks Kreske, you knew he never had great stuff. Nelson, you always knew he had the stuff, but he never had a swagger to him on the mound. You never had confidence in him.
What's the point of good stuff when he can't throw it for a strike?
That too. I mean, do Ridings? He just throws it right down the fucking dick, and they don't hit it.
Well, with Kreske and Nelson, their biggest issue this year has been, you know, just freaking walks, being wild, and then eventually leaving one up to hang and then getting crushed. With Ridings, he's just going out there throwing strikes, and like with that kind of height, with that kind of extension when he strides to the mound, with that kind of movement and velocity, all he has to do is throw strikes to be successful. Mm-hmm. And if you look at his numbers, he doesn't walk many guys. And no. he's a big guy, and he doesn't allow free passes. It's not one of those Dylan situations where, you know, Dylan could be hit or miss with, you know, the walks. But like with Ridings, he's just going out there, you know, throwing fastball slider and, you know, see if you can hit it, but most of the time you can't. So
I gotta say, you know, we aren't really totally sure about what the Aroldis Chapman situation is. He's currently on the injured list with elbow inflammation. Boone says it's probably like the MRI shows it's not anything structural outside of just typical damage, wear and tear over the years, but they don't think it's going to be a long-term thing. However, with elbows, I'm very cautious. I am currently expecting him not to be back till next month at least. Could he be back earlier? Absolutely. But I'm not going to assume that even a little bit. And I'm okay thinking that way because you know what? The bullpen's in great shape right now. It's not really something I'm worried about. I mean, just looking at, even though we're not going to go into this because it's not really relevant right now, but looking at next year's team, I could give two shits if we trade away one of Britton and Chapman, hopefully Chapman, from just to get rid of some money. Because, I mean, we have a lot of young relievers coming up that are going to pitch for major league minimum and put up really great results. So just give them a shot because we have multiple guys that could step in to be a closer, and they've shown it. Britton, when he's right, and he's been right for actually like a little while now, he's been on a roll. He can be a closer. Loaisiga can be a closer. They have a couple guys who are more than capable of stepping into that role. So if I'm the Yankees, I'm moving on from Chapman next year. I'm going to be honest, but that's just my two cents on him moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, if Ridings is legit, like the kind of potential that Ridings has is kind of closer stuff.
And I mean, Clay Holmes is basically a righty Zach Britton.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously you're gonna need a longer sample size before
obviously
you decide.
Obviously, it's a very small sample, of course.
Yeah,
but the stuff is there, and that's something that not all pitchers can say. They have 100% the stuff to be that good. They have, and in the case of Holmes, at least, certain aspects of his game, like the ground ball rate, have always been there. That's not something that just recently developed where you're questioning whether or not he actually generates those grounders. No, that's something he's done his whole career. His only issue has been walks. And so far with the Yankees, he's not really walking that many guys. And I think part of that is the Yankees or Matt Blake probably just told them, we have Zach Britton, dude. And he's pretty similar to you in terms of his arsenal. And you know what he does? He just throws pitches in the zone and they hit ground balls. Because that's the kind of pitch you got. So just do that. And you know what? If that's what he's doing, it's working. So keep doing it. Because his stuff is honestly, just because of the velo he has too. I mean, it's better than Zach Britton, honestly. I mean, not better, but I mean, stuff could be better, rather.
Yeah, I mean, like, Holmes is younger and, like, you know, the velocity.
He's actually fairly old, though.
He's, like, 30.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's 28. Not old, but, like, older than I would have guessed if you asked me.
Late bloomer.
Yeah, late bloomer. You know, they happen, especially with relievers.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's just... Britton and Chapman are now, what, entering their mid-30s? And,
yeah.
Their contracts are ending soon as well.
Yeah, I think Chapman has maybe 1 or 2 years left.
He has 1 year left.
If I'm the Yankees, I just cut bait, man. I would just cut bait before you even get into next year, especially if you're concerned about payroll at all, which I'm hoping they aren't, because, I mean, we got to see what the new CBA holds.
They are staying under the tax, so they could keep both.
Well, yeah, I think they're going to stay over the tax. The question is, are they going to be, we don't know what the thresholds are, what they're going to be, if there's even going to be a threshold, but let's say it's, hypothetically, it doesn't change much. Let's say it's like 250, 260 is like the third top threshold. Then that's still going to be something I expect them to stay under. Either going over 210 for sure, that kind of number, the second threshold, but the third, the Yankees almost always stay under that third threshold. So I think
that might be something. Pretty crazy that the Dodgers have a $300 million payroll.
It's ridiculous and speaks volume to the Yankees' current state of mind.
They just decided to buy everyone. They're just like, how? We can't lose a World Series if we buy all the players in MLB.
I mean, if you told me the Dodgers were going to get Trey Turner and Max Scherzer in one deadline.
They've got Scherzer, Kershaw, Buehler, Urias, and David Price.
That's the filthiest pitching staff I could possibly
imagine. And also, we're going to preface this, like, the Bauer investigation. If hypothetically he got cleared and came back, that would add, you know, another, you know, great pitcher. But I doubt he's coming back. The evidence seems to be against him. And, you know, hopefully he gets, you know, his just desserts.
But, you know, speaking of the Dodgers, though, I genuinely do think the Yankees would need a very perfect scenario to beat a team like that. I'm going to be honest. That's not me trying to be negative. I just think they're that good of a team. And if you're the Yankees,
ridiculous.
Even if you would need the offense to take it up, not just one notch, like two or three notches above what they're doing right now. You would need the pitching staff to be healthy and have one of Seve and Kluber return. And you need the bullpen to continue to do what they're doing. Otherwise, they'd have not even a little bit of a shot. If that all happens, yeah, they can absolutely put up a legit fight. But that's a big...
They've got Will Smith. Will Smith at catcher, Muncy at first, Turner at second, Seager at short, Justin Turner at third. They got Pollock, Bellinger, Betts, and all the depth in the world.
There's not much you can say that about Los Angeles Dodgers, man. I mean, that whole division, the whole division's nutty this year, and I got to say, it's good for baseball, though, that division as a whole, though. It is very good for baseball. And the AL East, man, even this year, that's great development for baseball. I wasn't anticipating the Red Sox being a legitimately competitive team despite their recent slide. The Blue Jays really stepping it up after the deadline, getting them very close to the rotation. And obviously Tampa Bay just figuring out a way, as always, regardless of who they trade away. So that's just
and Boston has been on fire as well.
Yeah,
with the moves and with their recent play, they've knocked it out of the park recently.
Boston is helping us quite a bit right now.
Yeah, we should start with the deadline moves because like we didn't get into this.
I forgot the episode you guys did when I couldn't be there.
It was before the Gallo trade and before the Rizzo trade.
Okay, well
I did predict Gallo to the Yankees, but I predicted Rizzo to the Red Sox, and that did not happen.
And a positive, they ended up getting Schwarber, who's probably going to be out because he had another setback. So,
and they're going to try to teach him how to play first base.
I don't see that working very well.
They're going to have a month to teach him how to play first base. I just don't see how that can work. It's not easy. It's not an easy position, especially in today's day and age with shifting and responsibilities. You also have to, scoop balls in the dirt, which, he's a former catcher, so we may be okay at that, but it's not an easy transition. Anyone that says it is kind of stupid. Good luck with that. And they've been ice cold as well, as a team, like ice cold, as bad as it gets. They took a July Yankees type of loss.
It's very bad, man. I mean, they're in a very difficult spot, and I don't see them. I mean, I'm not trying to be like,
you see that Springer
Yankee
home
boy
run?
Here. Yeah, I did. it was so hype, and I mean that's why to me they're the best team in this division. Maybe honestly, they could be
Toronto. I mean,
if their pitching continues to step up, that team could do quite a bit, man. I mean, there's no doubt about the lineup. The rotation has a lot more talent than it did before with
Ryu Barrios and Robbie Ray pitching career best right now.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. If they all are at their best, that's a legit front three. I mean, it really comes down to the bullpen.
They are getting scarily close.
And I think when you get to next year, man, and all these teams continue to improve.
By the way,
I think next year is going to be a crazy year, even crazier year for the East, because every team's just now they're in a state. Every single team except the Orioles, where they're trying to buy and improve their team in any way possible, and they're all
Orioles got Adley Rutschman coming.
Hey, I mean, the Orioles got a great farm system, man. I mean, if they can just get
Grayson
some
Rodriguez, they got the best pitching prospect in baseball.
You know what? According to RotoWire, we have two of the top 20 prospects in baseball. So, they're no big deal. No big deal.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest here. With, these other teams getting younger and better, we're going to have to get, some youth in there as well.
The Yankees are doing a good job of setting that up. They are. They're doing a very good job setting it up, and they traded away guys who I was sad to see leave, but I'm comfortable with them leaving given the fact we got Joey Gallo, who's going to be here for this year and next year, and Rizzo, who's a big help for this year. And honestly, I think there's a real good chance they try to extend him, and I think they'd be dumb not to. I'm going to be honest. I think they'd be absolutely foolish to let him go. I stand by that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've got kind of a hot take. It's not really about Rizzo. It's just about the first base position. I think first base, even though first base isn't a position where you need to have a crazy amount of, speed and range.
Yeah.
I do think that first base is one of the more important positions
I think it depends on your infield, honestly. Like, the Yankees have an infield at times where they really need a guy like Rizzo at first.
Yes, and also you have to take into account that even a great infield that has a bunch of, gold glovers on it, gold glovers tend to get to more balls, and so that increases the likelihood of them maybe, throwing one in the dirt.
No, I got you.
Et cetera. It's just an important position.
Absolutely.
Just to save you base runners and save you runs, man. It is, the value of Mark Teixeira in, 2009, can't go unnoticed,
Especially, I agree.
The 40 home runs helped, too. But,
of course. If you're the Yankees and you're looking at Rizzo, everyone loves to talk about the shortstop market heading into next year, but I don't really think that's necessary even a little bit. The Yankees' two top prospects outside of Jason Dominguez are literally both shortstops, and they can both honestly play either of the middle infield spots, and I wouldn't be shocked if one, maybe Volpe, ends up moving to third. Either way, they have options there, and I think just looking at the numbers, they're both legit. Peraz is just starting to heat up now after a little bit of a slow start to AA, but his OPS is climbing back up now. And Volpe, he's literally having one of the best years in minor league baseball, and if not the best year. And he's having the best year of any Yankees prospect probably since, Jesus Montero, maybe. That's a classic name, but, am I wrong?
I really like Volpe as a prospect. He's kind of small, He's kind of a small guy, so I think he's probably going to be a second baseman. But, like, Peraza is, like, shaping up to be a Gold Glove caliber shortstop. Yeah. So, like, that dude was moving anyways. Like, Peraza's not moving off the shortstop unless you want to try him out in, like, center field or something.
Volpe's numbers are just so wacky, dude.
I mean, can you imagine what Volpe can do as a second baseman? You move, like, Glaber to third.
I mean, I think you're talking about a legit 30 home run, 30 stolen base kind of guy that could bat over 300. Like, he has that kind of talent. He really does. And it's crazy to say that because I hated this draft pick. Like, I hated it. I really did because I just did it. I'm all about upside, and I did not see the upside on a pick on Volpe. I didn't. I didn't see it long term.
It took last year to just develop.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the Yankees, this is not who they drafted. They drafted a very different player. But that player obviously put in a lot of fucking work, and they can see that work ethic, and they clearly saw that when they drafted him, and that's a big part of what they liked. And I remember when they first drafted him, that is what they said. They thought the makeup was excellent. They thought that he's a hard worker, and he's going to really continue to work, and he's proven that, man. I mean, he added, I think, 20 pounds of muscle, or maybe he was 15, something like that, and got a lot bigger, added power, and you can see that. I mean, he has 18 home runs this year, man. 18, and he's a 5'11 shortstop. I mean, that's pretty huge.
Yeah, I'm looking at the numbers now. He's hitting, you know, 318 down an A ball with a 991 OPS, and he's got a 1.052 OPS for the season with 17 homers in only 76 games. And I'm not a mathematician, but that's a lot of homers, and he is really good.
But the Yankees farm system's in a really great place, and the Yankees in the future are in a bright place after getting Gallo and Rizzo. And just to speak more on those two, I mean, like I said, you know, Rizzo is really good. I think he's here for the long haul beyond this year. But just looking at this year, though, I mean, like we said, the defense is really good. An ounce above average, he's 96th percentile, which is what you want to see. It's literally elite defense at first. And all the metrics are there in terms of what you'd want out of a lefty first baseman in general. I mean, he's got pop, he hits the ball hard consistently. And one of my favorite things about him is the guy doesn't strike out very much. And obviously, strikeouts aren't everything in general. I never believe they are, but it's good to have a different kind of at bat in the lineup, though, just to make the lineup a little less one dimensional. And I think that's something Rizzo does bring to the table with this lineup. So for that reason, I really like the move, and I think it's going to pay dividends if they end up making it to the playoffs, man. I think it's going to pay big for them.
Yeah, we are so much more, you know, well-rounded compared to where we were, you know, 10 days ago.
I honestly get so depressed watching Voit at first base right now. It's so depressing.
You know, I think we should talk about Voit a little bit here.
I feel really
this dude's having a worse farewell season than Gardner.
I feel so horrible because literally last year he was our hero. He was the team's MVP.
He went from hero to zero, man.
Like, it's crazy. Like, I don't think he's this bad. I absolutely don't think he's this bad. Not even a little bit.
He's rusty, but
he's very rusty. He hasn't been on the field consistently, and I'm willing to bet most of the times he's come back, I think he's been battling injuries even when he was on the team. So I think that's a big part of it. I do. Mm-hmm. With that said, there's just no need for him on this team anymore after this year. This year, absolutely should play him because, you know, if he gets playing time and he really is healthy, eventually he's going to bust out of this. Like, I'm 99% sure because he's too good of a hitter to stay down consistently if he's healthy.
Yeah, he'll hit, but
he's going to hit.
It's just rusty. He hasn't played. That's why he couldn't catch up to a fastball.
I mean, listen to what he said the other day. Someone of the reporters asked him, you know, like, you think you can play every day? He's like, I mean, I've had 100 off days. I mean, I'll play every day.
Exactly.
He's right.
Like,
I mean, the guy knows. Like, he's missed a lot of time.
It's like jumping onto a moving train. It's very, very hard. It's not you know, he wasn't going to come back yesterday and go 4 for 4 and look like
absolutely
this, that. I mean, it's just, it's too much to ask, especially
he
with,
he didn't
go on a 10-day IL, then he missed like a month. And then he missed another month. And then he missed another month.
He's working with 112 at bats on the season. I mean, it's very low. I mean, he hasn't had a chance to really find his footing yet. So, I mean, there's really not too much I can say on Void outside of playing him more when he's healthy, and I think he's going to hit. But as for the future of Void, I don't think it's going to be here. I mean, they tried to trade him. It's been very clear. Andy Martino reported it himself, saying they had 3 different packages where Voit was almost dealt, and one was basically agreed on at deadline, on deadline day, until a team backed out last second and they couldn't get it done. So if that team didn't end up backing out, Voit would not even be on the team right now. That says a lot about how the Yankees currently view him. Like, he's not part of their plans. If he was, they would have never even discussed him.
I think they just realized that, like, the team needed a new look.
And, well, like, that's the big thing. Obviously,
the injuries happened, but, like, boy, even last year has had injury issues, and he's a right-handed batter, and he's not a great defender.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you add all of these things up, it's like he's the clear guy to move to get that lefty bat in there. And I've been on that for a while now. It's like, well, you're not moving Judge. You can't move Stanton. And like the only way you can get real left-handed power is by trading Voit and, you know, bringing in guys like Anthony Rizzo. Right. So that's what happened. You know, the DH spot's going to be open because Stanton plays the outfield now, and he's playing first base because Rizzo got COVID. So there are going to be at-bats for him for the rest of the season. But next year, I think he's a goner. Like, I think the Yankees made it clear that they're trying to invest in lineup balance, and he's kind of the odd man out, you know?
Yeah. No, I definitely agree, man.
Yeah. Rizzo got COVID.
Yeah, that was obviously unfortunate.
Should probably talk about this.
I mean, I'm not going to go too deep into it. I mean, it's unfortunate that it happened, of course.
Everyone got, it's like our whole team got COVID.
Entire team. And, you know, it sucks. It really does. But I'm not the kind of person to just start raging on a player because he got COVID, even if he was unvaccinated. I just don't like to do that. But especially, I don't have the whole story either way.
So let's recap since last year all the players that got COVID that are currently on our team. Cole, Gary, Judge. DJ got it last year. Glaber got it in the offseason. Gio got it. Judge got it. I think I already said Judge. Monty, Rizzo, like our entire bullpen. Chapman got it once, I believe. I think Britton may have gotten it. Like, it went through our whole team for, you know, these past few years. And the J&J, even Phil Nevin almost died because of it. You know, thank God he got vaccinated, or else
obviously a major problem. It's very unfortunate for this team as a whole.
Matt Blake saved Phil Nevin's life because he talked him into getting vaccinated, which is pretty cool.
Now, right now, man, I just think the Yankees got to sort out their shit with this. I mean, they got to be more careful. Clearly,
it's ridiculous.
It's absolutely unacceptable in the sense that clearly, aside from regardless of whether or not you're vaccinated or unvaccinated,
they're doing something wrong.
It's clear that they need to be more careful. Regardless, like that much is clear. I can confidently say that.
I think like maybe wearing masks pregame or something. Just like, I don't know, like do something different, man. Like, it's just not.
I mean, you're putting your season on the line when this many guys are getting COVID. That's the reality of it. Like, you're putting your team at risk in a very, very tight playoff race in the American League.
It's hurting your team, and it's potentially affecting your health and others' health. as well. And it's just, it's a big mess. And like, I'm glad it got revealed, like Cole got vaccinated and Monty got vaccinated. And it's good to see these people doing what they, you know, doing all they can to avoid contracting it. But, you know, they picked the shittiest vaccine. Let's be honest here. The J&J has not been known as the quality vaccine, but
the ghetto vaccine.
It's really the reason why they did it is because it's only one shot. The issue is that it's not as effective as the two shot, and now we're seeing the effects of that. And should have just got the two shot. And honestly, next year when it's probably gonna be a yearly vaccination thing going forward. Next year, do it in spring training. Get, you know, one every 2 weeks, and then boom, you're good. We're doing Pfizer and Moderna next year. We're not letting the Jets owners' vaccine ruin our baseball season. And potentially kill people. So, well, I mean, it's a vaccine, but
you go. And just to get into another topic, we didn't go too deep into Joey Gallo, but I won't go crazy because you guys probably talked about him quite a bit last episode, but I'll just dive into him a little bit. I mean, he's been off to a slow start with the Yankees. I mean, he had the one big home run, of course, that just barely got out, but he's had some nice hits. That game was great overall. I mean, he had the home run that game. He had two doubles earlier in that game.
He's got a rocket for an arm.
No, the guy has a great arm. He's been a great
defender. Who did he gun down? Seager?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
yep, that guy was has a perfect. Cannon.
You know, perfect. He's a player I'm not worried about.
He's got a ton of range, too.
Yeah. He's just in a little bit of a slump, and it's cool. It's not a big deal. He's going to get out of it. And, you know, the guy's super talented. He's a Statcast darling. I mean, he's 97th in barrel percentage, 89th in outfielder jump, 96th in outs above average, 100% in walk percentage. I mean, the guy consistently gets on base, hits dingers, and plays gold glove defense. So there's not too much you can say outside of he's a freaking stud, because that's exactly what he is.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a good fit for this team, and obviously it's been a slow start for him. He'll never be, you know, a 300 hitter, and that's fine.
He doesn't need to be, because the thing is, he's not a one-dimensional player. He brings to the table.
Every at bat, I feel like, even if he does, you know, strike out, I do feel like he at least grinds the at bat out, gets to like 3-2, you know, puts himself in a position to get on base.
Yeah.
You know, usually he swings at, you know, pitches in the zone. He doesn't chase much. It's just a good combination, and it's a good fit, and obviously lefty bat and super athletic in the outfield. We're playing, you know, Andujar and Clint in left field, and it's just, you know, the defensive difference that Gallo has already made is pretty crazy. So, like, it's very clear that, you know, he's just overall a really good fit. He fits all of the needs that we had in the outfield. It sucks that we couldn't clone him and put him in center field as well. That'd be pretty fun.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think the really great part about adding Gallo and Rizzo together was, really, for me, more than anything, the defense has improved so dramatically as a whole. And, you know, when everyone's healthy, at least,
this is a really
good defensive team, man. When everyone's healthy, you're looking at a solid defensive squad. I mean, I think at the best defensive alignment, I'm not talking what the lineup should be, I'm just talking defense alone. I mean, you got Gio at third base, who's, regardless of what metrics say, we all know he's a really good defender.
He's a really like him this year. So.
Well, yeah, they like him more than they previously did. Yeah. So
at worst, he's a solid defender. Like, yeah, even the metrics say, like, at worst, he's solid.
Gleyber, he's one of the weaker defenders, but you know what? He doesn't hurt you more often than not. He's also one
of the weaker hitters. Well,
we'll get into that too. But he's an average shortstop. But
And DJ and Rugi at second base, man, they're both well above average, with Rugi even being elite, actually, by the metrics. Rizzo's elite by the metrics at first base. And then the entire outfield is really solid. I mean, especially even when you have Stanton in left field, I mean, he's not a bad outfielder, dude. And you can even see it when he's out there. Like, when a ball is hit to him, I don't get worried. I mean, I'm not sure if you do or anyone else does, but I'm never worried when a ball is hit to him.
No, I mean, he was a good outfielder in Miami. He's not.
Like, I would even say he's a little above average.
He's not like, you know, JD Martinez out there, you know? He's actually like really good. Gleyber Torres, left thumb sprain. So like that could take a little while, but like he didn't, you know, that could have been a lot worse in my opinion.
No, it definitely could have been.
But you know, we're getting something that we really wanted, and that's more Tyler Wade, and that's always good. Nick Nelson has been recalled. Andrew Velasquez is coming up. He has been added to the 40-man and selected. Congratulations to Andrew Velasquez, who I believe it was last with Baltimore, the last time he made the major leagues. But, you know, it sucks that Oswald Peraza is only in Double-A now. But, you know, I kind of wish, like, if this injury were to have to happen, I wish it would have had to happen next year with Oswald Peraza ready to come up. But
I mean, even freaking Volpe, man, because Volpe's going to may reach AAA next year for sure, I would say.
Yeah, Peraza's a little ahead. Obviously, he's in Double-A.
Oh, timeline-wise, he's a little ahead. Yeah,
so, like, he's the next guy up as long as, you know, he's healthy. But, you know, I think... all we asked from Velasquez and Tyler Wade, who Tyler Wade hasn't been god awful recently. It's just like
he's had a good week.
Just like fucking bunt a lot, don't run into outs, and make all the plays defensively, and like just hold down the fort, and like you won't be our biggest problem. Our biggest problem right now is the fact that there is a power outage throughout the lineup. They're not hitting enough homers.
They don't. I mean, that's the main issue with this lineup, and I don't know what the solution is still. I mean,
hold up. Let me pull up my tweet from yesterday.
You can continue. I mean, just looking at everybody, I mean, even I'm not trying to shit on Judge at all, because I mean, overall, he's having a good year, but is it Aaron Judge standards? No. I mean, to me, it's below what I expect out of Judge. And I mean, I'm not trying to be an ass.
Need more dingers.
I'm sorry, but this is meant to be. When people talk about Judge, you think top 10 MLB player, superstar, one of the best hitters in baseball. And he's still a really good hitter, but I mean, an 871 OPS, 23 home
runs. We're waiting for that streak where, you know, it's like five in a week.
I mean, because an 871 OPS with 23 home runs, again, it's not bad, but an 871 OPS only ranks, like, it's 26th in baseball.
Yeah, it's still really good, but, like...
But is it elite?
There's more there, is what you're trying to say. Like, there's more in there that we need right now, especially with the power outage of DJ and Glaber. We need more power from, you know, Stanton and Judge. So the tweet that I sent out yesterday is... Glaber's been on fire with like singles and doubles, right? But he's only hit a home run since July 21st. DJ hasn't homered since late June. That's insane. He did not hit a home run in July, and he hasn't hit a home run yet in August, DJ LeMahieu. The on-base streak means shit when you're only hitting singles. You get what I'm saying? Like, I don't care. Like, well, I don't care. Stanton only has three since July 1st, and Judge has only hit one since returning. His last game before he got COVID was against the Astros. I think he had a home run like the day before that last game. Remember the Garrett Cole shutout, and then he hit the one against Seattle. So, like, they are not hitting enough homers. It is that simple. Like, they need more homers. There has to be more power here, or else, like, because, like, the Yankees aren't the type of team that will string four hits together, four singles together. They're not a singles hitting team. They're a high octane, you know, strikeout, walk, homer, through true outcome kind of team, with the exception of Glaber and DJ, who don't hit homers. So like, hit more homers, and like, Voit should help a little here. It would be great to see him, you know, hit a few homers and help out the offense. But like, getting back to our Judge conversation, like, certain guys have to lock it in, step up, and, you know, go on tears. And you know, I want to see, you know, a week where, you know, Judge hits like five home runs, you know, and like, it should happen. I don't care that the balls are de-juiced. You're 7 feet tall and you have good mechanics.
No, the juice ball only made a difference.
I'm sure it makes a difference, medium. But like,
but come on, but it's not going to make Aaron Judge a 30.
It doesn't make a 40 home run hitter like a 30 home run hitter. It'll rob you of a few homers, but when you hit the ball as hard and far as Judge does, his balls usually go out anywhere. So,
and I mean, God, I mean, look at Stanton. I mean, he's a real issue in my book. I mean, I'm sorry, but an 820 OPS out of Stanton is absolutely.
There's just more in the tank, is what is like kind of the phrase I keep going back to.
Yeah, because 820 OPS is not bad. It's about who the player is.
It's good. It's a good year, but like
it's not Stanton.
But we need, you know, that run where homer. You know, a homer in like three consecutive games, and he takes a game off, and then he hits a homer again, and it's like
he had one almost run like that in like April, and that's it.
It's like, yeah, he had that run in April.
That was it.
So it's clear. It's very clear. It's in there, and it's very clear that even with this dead baseball, you can go on a home run tear.
Of course he can. It's Giancarlo Stanton. No one hits the ball harder than he does. Quite
and like honestly, like. Let's be honest here. Like, if this power outage doesn't turn around,
this team's not going anywhere.
I think. Well, one, this team isn't going to go anywhere because you're not going to be Max Scherzer hitting singles off of him.
No, you're not.
And also, your Marcus Thames is a goner as well. Like he's going to lose his job if.
Oh, I don't think he's going to make it. I really don't think he's going to make it.
Gleyber Torres has hit, I think, like 10 home runs in his last 100 something games. Like, it's
I don't think people understand how crazy that is. Juice
like,
ball
he hit 37 and he, like, even with the well the balls were still juiced last year, so like this is a mechanical issue that he's having, and like it hasn't been fixed in all of this time, and like eventually you're gonna have to get, you know, a new philosophy in there and just like,
I mean,
figure
you're right.
out, like, I mean, he's not gonna make, and I'm not saying necessarily that it's right or wrong to fire him. I'm not.
But you have
not,
to.
But like.
You kind of just have to.
You have
you gotta
to.
You got to try
like,
something new.
Like, come on. Like, fuck. I mean, it's just, you know, like, you have to be held accountable. Like, I'm not saying, like, Marcus Simms can't go up there and hit for them, but like.
I mean, dude, Gleyber Torres was not just a good player. He was an all-star. He was top 20 in OPS in 2019. He was sixth in homers in the AL. He was one of the best players you possibly could have imagined, and every projection from every site across baseball had him as a 35 to 40 home run bat for the next, like, 10 years. And now, over the last two seasons, which consists of how many games? We're looking at a total of 130, like 140-ish. Let's say 140. He has nine homers. Nine.
Like, it's just.
That's crazy.
And, like, DJ's power outage as well. Like, he hasn't hit a home run since he took Hector Neris deep in June, I think. I think he hit one after, but that was it. And like the lack of power by even Judge and Stanton is enough to like say like, hey, what are we doing here? Like, the results, you know, early in the year we're like, yeah, this will just figure itself out, but like and to an extent our offense has been better, but like it's still like we got shut out by Seattle yesterday, and like our players still aren't hitting homers, and like where's the power? Even like we haven't been necessarily putting on a power display, even, you know, even in winning, even when we're winning, I guess you can say, like, scored what, 3 runs a game in Miami. We scored 3, 4, and 3 in Miami, and then we blew up against Matt Harvey and the shitty Orioles pitching staff, and then Seattle 5 and on a short, and 3 of them were on a short porch, and then, you know, Friday we scratched across 3, but it took us 11 innings to score 3 runs. And then Saturday, remember the shoddy defense by the Mariners that, you know, led to a big rally. And then yesterday we scored nothing. I mean, there are still red flags here. I'm just saying, like, there's still, like, even with COVID injuries, this offense still has enough players where you can realistically expect a good amount of run production and legitimate run production, not like when the opposing team plays Bad News Bears defense. So, like, I don't know. Hit more homers. Be better. I don't know. Fix it. Figure it out, or else, like, get fired. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with everything you said, honestly. And, you know, I think as I look at the season, you know, I see a lot of fans calling out for heads, for coaches to be fired. And, yeah, that talk is definitely settled down with the Yankees actually, you know, winning now. But, you know, some of it's warranted, I think. Some of it isn't. I mean, you have the irrational fans. You have the level-headed fans, which are few and far between. But, you know, I think that some change is going to need to be made in the offseason. What's that going to be? I don't know. But, honestly, I wouldn't be shocked one way or another, because Boone is very, you know, he's tight with his guys. He has a coaching staff he's content with. And Cashman seems to really just tell Boone, do whatever you feels right. So I can kind of see it going either way. But, you know, I think with this team, though, they got what it takes to win this year. They just got to really step it up offensively more than anything, because I think the pitching is currently it's there, and I think it's just going to come together.
Yeah, the pitching has been the thing that's, you know, saved this team. You know, and it saved this team in May, too, because remember, we weren't scoring in May, but we got really hot because of the pitching. You know, so, like, think of it this way. We gave up. We only allowed, since, July 30th, you know, when Rizzo and Gallo came to town, 1 run against Miami, 2 runs against Miami, 1 run. And then, you know, they gave up 7 against Baltimore on the game we lost. And then, you know, 1 run, 3 runs, 3 runs, 2 runs, 4 runs, and only 2 runs. So our pitching consistently, besides one game.
Mm-hmm. No, you're definitely right. I mean,
it's winning us games, the pitching.
Oh, it cut out for a while. Sorry.
Oh, it's just winning us games. You know, the pitching is saving our season.
Mm-hmm. No, pitching is definitely what's saving the season right now. And I really do believe in the pitching long term and this year. I don't see this pitching really falling apart overall. I think the only concern right now is the rotation a bit. But with Tyone stepping up, with Gerrit Cole being Gerrit Cole, and I mean, Monty's been really solid. Cortez has been really good. And if you just have one of Seve or Kluber become a solid pitcher for the Yankees, I think that their pitching is going to work out more than fine. Yeah, and I think most of that is going to happen. I mean, because most of it already is happening outside of Seve and Kluber. So it's not really a huge gamble, quite honestly. I would even call it likely. So I'm feeling pretty good about the pitching staff. It's just the lineup will concern me. Usually, in a normal year, I wouldn't be worried. But these are a lot of issues that are carrying over from last year. And they've shown very little signs of improving for most of these guys. So I'm not quite sure how to feel about the lineup quite yet going into the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, this team on paper is a 100-win, you know, championship caliber team. When you look at all the names that we have, it's just, you know, at some point you have to perform to the back of your baseball card. And like we've been saying this, we've been being the drum, kind of being the dead horse as well, but like you said, we've got Garrett Cole coming. Quick technical difficulties, everyone. Hello.
Yeah.
Back to the point. We were talking about the rotation. Cole's coming back, right? He should be back, you know, within a week. And then Sevy is on his way back, and he's only going to throw like one or two more rehab starts, and then he'll be back. And
yeah,
that's going to be awesome. And like Monty should be coming off the COVID. Like there are reinforcements coming, and you know, like I said this earlier, I don't know if you heard it. Like on paper, this team's got like, this is a championship kind of team on paper when you look at all of the names we have, but it's just about playing to the back of your baseball card. And like, I don't know, it's very exciting to, you know, have Sevy coming back and Kluber coming back and you know, Monty and Cole, but like feels like we've got like an abundance of pitching now. I don't know.
Yeah,
pitching is kind of weird that
for once. Yeah,
it's weird that it's a strength. It's like
imagine if we had this pitching last year even.
Yeah, I mean, we've got like, what? Let's think here. We got Cole, Sevy, Kluber, Monty, Herman, Heaney, Nestor, Heal.
Past Tampa.
Jesus. I mean, like, there's so many guys, but like, it's an exciting kind of thought that we're going to be getting these people back in time, you know, to make a run towards the playoffs. And, you know, hopefully we can make a run towards the division. It's not over for sure. I mean, especially since we play them the final weekend of the year. So I don't know. Like I'm just excited about, you know, getting those guys back and actually having, you know, kind of a super rotation of sorts.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has super rotation potential, and I think they're gonna live up to that. I think they really will, as long as they stay healthy, because the talent's there, and not beyond talent, they've all performed. I mean, Severino obviously is the one exception because he hasn't really performed, or not even pitched in a couple years. But Kluber was performing this year.
Mm-hmm.
When he was healthy, he was a really, really good starting pitcher. He was a frontline guy. He threw a no-hitter for us. I mean, he was legit, man. I have no issues. I mean, no question about the talent at this point with Kluber. It's just about staying on the baseball field. And if he does, I think the Yankees may be getting the biggest possible acquisition they can beyond the deadline that any team's going to be getting. So I'm pretty pumped, man. I'm pretty pumped just thinking about it. And like we said, it's going to come down to the lineup when we're talking about our playoff hopes and whether or not we even make it. So it's going to be an interesting last month and a half or so of the season. I mean, I can see so many different routes this team goes in. And if I had to guess right now, I think that they are gonna make the playoffs, but it's not gonna be easy, and it's far from a given, man. It is far from a given.
You know, like, it's obviously no guarantee, but I do think it's gonna happen.
I have a maybe bold prediction, but I don't know.
I think
that in the AL, but we're gonna have three AL East teams make the playoffs. I think it's going to be two AL East teams in the wild card by the
Yankees, end of the year. Rays, Toronto.
I think that's the way it's going to end up going. I think it could be any of the, honestly, I could see it going in either any of the orders too. I mean, I can't even predict who's going to win what, but I think those three teams are all going to make the playoffs.
You know, it's crazy.
And that'll be pretty exciting.
I'm looking at, you know, the schedule now. The Red Sox play the Rays three times starting tomorrow. They play them four times at the end of August. They play them three times the second week of September. So like,
it's a lot of games.
I think they're gonna make that kind of clearer, if that makes sense. Like, they're gonna bring some clarity to standings. I'm looking at what Toronto is going up against. They play Tampa Bay six times in September as well. So, yeah, I mean, Toronto, I think, is going to overtake Boston for that third spot. I think we're going to make it as well. We are six back in the loss column to Tampa, you know, and, you know, I think I'm going to look at Tampa's schedule I want to see like the quality of competition. I think Boston's going to play them tough. Chris Sale, I think Chris Sale might be pitching against them one of these games. He's coming back.
He is.
So like they're playing Boston, Minnesota, Baltimore. So good team for, and then two crappy teams. No offense. Then they play the White Sox, great team. Philadelphia, a good team that's on a hot streak. And then they play, you know, Baltimore, but then they go back and have to face Boston at the Trop. Then they play Minnesota again, then Boston. Play Boston a lot. Then they have to play Toronto.
Yeah, yeah.
Detroit, and they play Houston at the end of the year as well. So they do have teams that will play them tough. And I think if the Yankees just, you know, play their game. They got, you know, going back to the Yankees, we've got three games in Kansas City. And no offense to Kansas City, they're a decent enough team, but like we're clearly better than them. And
the Yankees need to win two out of three, no exceptions. And
you got to win your series.
I want to sweep. I mean, I do want to sweep, but you need to win at least two.
Yeah. I mean, you want to get greedy, you get the sweep, but like.
I mean, the best pitcher in this series is Hernandez, and he has a 4.58 ERA. He's the best.
Yeah, and remember, they traded Danny Duffy, so he's gone.
They're not working much right now.
Yeah, like, this is a winnable series if there ever was one. You got to win your series. You play the White Sox, and of course, they're going to play you tough. You know,
Field of Dreams game.
Yeah, Field of Dreams game. That's going to be awesome to see. It's for Iowan residents only, I believe, which is really cool. I've always really loved that cornfield aesthetic. I think that's
iconic.
Yeah, it's really cool for sure. And then, you know, after our White Sox series, we come back home. We play, you know, L.A. and then got a big series against Boston, and maybe we can put some distance, you know, behind them. And then you play Minnesota, who's been terrible, and the Yankees historically have owned Minnesota. So, like, you know, they don't have Barrios either. Like, you guys, like, they're done, basically. You got to take three out of four from them, at least. And, like, we're playing Atlanta, and Atlanta doesn't have Acuna. And, like, there are a lot of winnable games for the Yankees coming up. And we need to win these games because, like, we didn't win the games we were supposed to win earlier in the year. So we've got to make it up, you know?
Yeah.
Win your games, make it down in the division, cut it close. And, like, if you can cut the deficit to, like, two games heading into the final weekend of the season, get an opportunity to win a division. So, like, it's going to be a hell of a finale.
It's going to be a wild ride, man. The Yankees' fate is in their own hands, and I'm interested to see what they do against Kansas City and the White Sox over the next week. But until then, I'm good. Do you have anything else you want to say?
I'm thinking. I think overall we're good. I think the only thing I have to say is, like, let's get healthy, get well soon to all the players that are either on the injured list or on the COVID list. Hopefully we get all these players back. And, you know, let's win our series. Let's get on a run. Win your games. Get back in these races and, you know, let's go on a run here to close out our season. So that's all I have to say.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I think this team could do it. They just got to prove it now. Play to the back of your baseball cards, like you were saying, and this goes out to all the hitters because they all have a history of performing. They all have a history of being all-star caliber players. Now they just need to continue what they did in the past and forget what's been happening this year because they're better than this, and now they need to go out and show us that.
And more homers.
Until next time, this has been another wonderful episode of the Yankee Center Podcast. See everybody.
Peace.